welcome to the At the Eyepiece Show. This is an astronomy-based podcast that is devoted to discussing astronomical equipment, stargazing tips, observing reports, and equipment reviews. We don't focus on the science of astronomy. There are plenty of shows that do that. The focus of At the Eyepiece is the visual observers, those backyard stargazers that enjoy taking their telescopes under the stars, and those individuals wishing to join our ranks. After all, what matters to stargazers is what's at the eyepiece.
Well, hello out there, my fellow backyard stargazers. Sorry, I'm running just a couple of minutes late here for this episode of At the Eyepiece. We are live on the air. That's right. We are live. We're going to be doing this episode for about an hour and a half here. And if you would like to join in on the chat, please jump into the chat room and ask away or go ahead and post up your questions, whatever it might be. This is an episode that is going to be dedicated to celebrating the Worldwide Solstice Festival. If you haven't heard, this event was created to go ahead and celebrate the sun. You know, truly, the solstice has been a time of celebration for many years, probably as long as mankind's been aware of the solstice and its impact. And Pamela Shavak and John O'Neill, they are the creators of this event. And they've done a phenomenal job, because I could tell you, I just came from doing an hour-long Google Plus Hangout, a video of sharing out images from the Solar Activities Facebook page and the Worldwide Solstice Festival page, as well as sharing some images of some PowerPoint presentations or graphics that help to explain some of the phenomenon that you're seeing on the sun, and going ahead, too, and sharing some of the live broadcast from NSN. This stands for Night Skies Network, and sharing that out. And I know that Scott in South Dakota, or Sparky in South Dakota, he was nice enough to go ahead and jump on the Night Skies Network. It looks like he has pretty good weather. He's sharing out white light imaging of the sun right now. But just some phenomenal images in hydrogen alpha as well as white light that folks are posting up all over the world. Where I'm at, Tennessee, I got to post up my pictures. I haven't had the time yet. It's been a busy day. It's been a real busy day. 11 a.m. to 1, we were at Old Fort Park setting up the white light scope, handing out free glasses, safe solar glasses, that were donated by Daystar Filters. And unfortunately, we didn't have the transparency. It's been a pretty murky sky for us right now. Basically, bright enough to where you can see the sun through the clouds and you can see the sunspots, but hydrogen alpha viewing was very, very disappointing. I've been thinking I might get out after 4:30, get on the Night Skies Network myself, but so far, maybe white light, I don't know. Definitely, hydrogen alpha is probably not going to take place, unfortunately. But there's plenty of folks that are out there putting up their images on the Solar Activity site from their celebration and participation in the Worldwide Solstice Festival. So I encourage you to do that. If you are one of the members of that group that says, yeah, I'd like to participate in this worldwide event, to share the sun and to speak to other folks about the sun and do a little bit of a astronomy outreach, then we'd love to go ahead and have you post up the images there. Of course, if you handed out some of those wonderfully designed certificates that you can hand out to folks that Pamela created, that you can freely download the images. I printed up quite a few myself, handed them out to the kids. They really loved it. You know, kids like to get stuff. They like to think that they're part of things that are bigger than them. You know what I'm saying? So that was a big hit. I gave out Sun Chips. You like that? Yeah, I gave out little bags of Sun Chips to the kids, too, to get them lured over, if you will. And, of course, they enjoyed the views of the sun and white light and the sunspots. And I had a little bit of a graphic board that I spent, I spent a while last night trying to put. You hadn't known. I've been 2 weeks on vacation. And it's been a little while since we've done an episode, but we're doing another live, obviously, right now. And I've been out on vacation, so it's been, as soon as I got back from vacation, I've only had a week to prep for this day, and a lot of stuff going on. So I'm glad to a degree that we are in the process of not really winding down, but now it's going to be coming to an end shortly, I guess. But don't let that be the end of your solar astronomy outreach. By all means, head on over to Facebook. Join the solar activity page because you're going to see plenty of superb images of prominences, sunspots, aurora, anything related to solar activity. That's the place that you want to be and check it out. As well as ask your questions. If you got any questions on equipment, if you have any questions on the sun in general, ask away. There are 25,000 folks that are going to be available to go ahead and answer that for you. It is a great, great site indeed. In fact, I don't want to put anybody under pressure, but in fact, we might just have some calls from the founders of this event here. And of course, I'm going to put the number out there because if you have participated or if you have any questions on Worldwide Solstice Festival, and of course, if you've participated and you'd just like to share the experience with everybody, give us a call. Our guest call-in number is 760-454-1129. We're going to be in here for a little bit more, a little longer than an hour here, or an hour and 18 minutes that left on the show. So I made sure that we put plenty of time in the show just in case we want to go ahead and hear from you and different folks, etc. And I'm just going to kick off a brief message here. We are live. That's right. We are live on the air, so there's no tweak and change in the show. This is, you know, as it happens, gang. So, remember, and I know that dead air is horrible for radio, so I apologize for that. Gosh, I need to go ahead and keep this thing flowing much better. Okay, so solar activity on the Facebook page. I've been sharing out some of these images up there from a variety of telescopes. Some of them are hydrogen alpha. Some of them are white light. Actually, the majority are white light, and there's a reason for that. Hydrogen alpha can be an expensive thing to get into. Doesn't have to be, though. Frankly, you have a great option of getting into hydrogen alpha with Daystar's Quark. And also, they have an option called their Solar Ready 66. This is a complete, the Solar Ready 66 is a complete solar telescope, ready to go. It has their unique hydrogen alpha filter that is temperature regulated on there, as well as a small finder for the sun, which I can tell you, if you think the sun's hard to find or wouldn't be hard to find, well, you're mistaken. If you don't have a finder on your solar scope to be able to help you locate the sun, it can be quite frustrating. Trust me, I know. Now, if you have a refractor, though, anything from F4 to, I think, F9, hopefully I'm getting that right, you have something that I've talked about on this show, previous episodes before, called the Quark. This is their relatively new hydrogen alpha eyepiece. It basically goes between your eyepiece and the telescope itself, and you've got, boom, hydrogen alpha telescope. It comes in two models. One is the prominence. One is their chromosphere model. Essentially, one is more ideally suited for the prominences, probably at a longer angstrom for the chromosphere, and then the chromosphere model obviously can do probably both prominences and filaments. I've been able to see very briefly and said my skies today were not very good, and that's unfortunate, but it happens. I was able to make out some really nice detail, but I only had like literally maybe 20 seconds of clear enough skies to take a look, and that was it. And after about 45 minutes, I said, that's it. I'm going to pack up the hydrogen alpha. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to use it. But it's just enough sunlight screaming through the clouds there to make out the disk in white light and at least see the sun spots themselves. So that was good. I would estimate that at my local Old Fort Parkway Astronomy Outreach for Worldwide Solstice Festival, I probably had about 30 kids and parents. 30 kids and parents. So not a bad little turnout. Not much advertised at all. Just the Facebook group and the page. But the kids that were out there were so polite. They were so cute. Come up. They were so thankful to go ahead and check out the sun. And you know, yeah, it can be tough to get the kid to understand exactly what you're talking about with sunspots. But some of them were very genuinely interested. And there was a couple of wows. And, of course, they liked getting the safe solar glasses that were, again, donated by Daystar Filters. And I really wanted to show more from the Quark, but unfortunately, my seeing conditions weren't going to permit that at all. But if you want, again, if you wanted to get into solar astronomy yourself with hydrogen alpha, you got to check out the Daystar Quarks, especially if you do have a refractor yourself. I've seen images from these things for a long while, and it's phenomenal to actually have one right now that I haven't had the opportunity to really look through and check out, but it's going to happen. So that's going to be a future episode, no doubt. And they're very inexpensive as hydrogen alpha goes, gang, because no matter if you have an 80-millimeter refractor right now, as long as it's F4 or higher up to F9, you get one of these chromosphere or prominence quarks for $1,000. Go out there and price an 80-millimeter hydrogen alpha telescope. You know exactly what I'm saying. It's a steal. All right, let's get going back to a little bit more of our activities here. Again, if you want to go ahead and participate in, our phone number is 760-454-1129. I also encourage you to go ahead and jump here into the chat room. If you want to go ahead and ask your questions, a lot of times I'll put in links and images and things there to go ahead and share as well. So that's a good way of getting some of the information out there and share between everyone. And let's go ahead briefly now and talk about what exactly the solstice is. Now, of course, I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to try to explain this in as layman's terms as I possibly can. And basically, the solstice is the longest day of the year for us in the Northern Hemisphere. Okay? It's when the sun, because of the angle of the Earth as it rotates around the sun, because of this angle, we have an imaginary line that it crosses called the Tropic of Cancer, directly perpendicular to the sun rays at that point. So we're getting the most sun that we have all year right at our summer solstice. And it's basically really kind of between the 20th and the 22nd, the summer solstice here for us in the Northern Hemisphere. And that is really as brief of an explanation as I can give you there. The sun rises early, and it sets the latest for the whole year. Now, you have two times the solstice. We will have, the southern hemisphere will have their solstice December 20th or thereabouts. Sorry, I don't have the exact date. But that is when they will go ahead and share their activity for that time. But that's not to say that they haven't participated in this year's solstice, because David Reneke, he is a guy, if you haven't checked it out, he's everywhere down there in astronomy as far as Australia goes. Radio, television, a great website. Let me go ahead and bring that up just to make sure that you are up to that. Bear with me. We are live, gang, so bear with me. If you just go to davidrenneke.com, that's davidrenneke.com. Great, informative website. I was poking around with it the last couple of days. Very well put together. So good job to him. And he's been the person that has kicked off the worldwide solstice festival for the Southern Hemisphere. And he's posted up some great stuff. They had a great, great setup down there with multiple telescopes. A great, canopy there to shade folks, and a nice table with different handouts, et cetera. So he did a phenomenal job. I'd like to go ahead and have him on the air maybe in a future episode. We can recoup essentially what he's done and talk more in general about, astronomy down there, down under. So it would be a phenomenal episode there. So keep a lookout for that too. But he kicked it off. And, of course, as we've progressed here into Sunday, I'm looking at 3:20 my local time here in Central Time Zone, Middle Tennessee, where I'm at. We've had so many people posting great stuff on the Worldwide Solstice Festival page of their actual event photos. John O'Neill was getting set up. He posted up quite a few hours ago with plenty of tents and canopy shades with some fantastic banners, no doubt highlighting and bringing people over out of curiosity. And just people all over the world. It's amazing. It's truly a worldwide event. As I was looking through some of the images that were posted up, it's really cool that we had a number of folks. One gentleman posted a phenomenal image from South Korea. And, of course, Randy Shavak, which is Pamela's husband, does just superb work imaging the sun from where they are at down in Arizona. Of course, they have the skies. Speaking of the skies, I just taken a look out on my window right now, and I actually see a little bit of blue, but it's kind of still kind of bluish gray. So, gosh, I'm hoping that here as we progress through, we'll be able to do some live imaging. Now, speaking of live imaging, let's go back here and tell you, we are live on the air right now. Today is the June 21st. By the way, happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there, and I hope you are having a great day. You are very deserving of that. But as we are live on the air here on the 21st, we've had some great opportunities to see the sun. And Night Skies Network, we actually had a gentleman that is part of the Worldwide Solstice Festival, has clear enough skies there in North Dakota. His name is Scott, or I guess he goes by Sparky on the NSN channel, Night Skies Network. He's able to go ahead and share his live view. So if you happen to be listening to this live and you have never seen the sun as far as with a specialized solar telescope that shows it in what we call white light and seeing the sun spots, well, you're in for a treat. Head on over there right now, and you can go ahead and check out that feed. Night Skies Network is a great, great website. You do not need an account to view, but you can set up a free account, and what that'll do is that'll get you the ability to go ahead and jump in on the chat rooms and say hello and ask questions. I can't tell you how many times folks have been on, and I myself have been broadcasting, which, by the way, my channel is at the eyepiece, and they will jump in, and they will go ahead and ask questions, and we're more than happy to answer them, especially when we're doing either, well, we're doing daytime solar broadcasting of live images in either hydrogen alpha or white light, or we're doing nighttime imaging, sharing Jupiter, Saturn, which is visible now, or deep sky. You know, you can go online and see galaxies, gang, in really real time. And it's just folks like me, amateur astronomers that love, that are passionate about astronomy, that has the technology to share those views live on the air. It's a great site and a great way of outreach. And I just wish that my weather was a little bit better to get out there and do that myself. I'd get on there and do it. Now, it's fun to go right now here through all of the plethora of event images. Juan Miguel Gonzalez Paulo here just has a great little setup. I'm not sure where he's from, but as I'm looking through some of the images that he's posted on the Worldwide Solstice Festival, just great. I mean, three telescopes, all with white light filters, it looks like, and they are all no doubt enjoying themselves as well as enjoying sharing these views with others. People are, you know, people are just curious about astronomy. It's one of those sciences that I think everybody is curious about. I mean, who can't go ahead and be curious, right, about the sun? Who can't be curious to walk by somebody who's saying, hey, I got the sun in the eyepiece of this telescope here. You want to take a look? You can see sunspots, and in this one, hydrogen alpha, you can see prominences. I mean, just the curiosity of what a prominence would be. Astronomy is one of those sciences that I think is just universally fascinating to everyone. And it really means a great opportunity for you to go ahead and do some outreach. And that is just one person around the world that is doing that with a group of folks. Great little setups here. Great images that I'm seeing here on their Facebook. Again, this is go to Facebook.com and join into the Worldwide Solstice Festival. And I'd also recommend the phenomenally huge and successful Facebook group called Solar Activity. This was, again, the creation of Pamela Chivak and also, I think, to a large degree, John O'Neill. Both of them really do a phenomenal job with both of these Facebook pages. And, of course, the event that we are doing today, they're doing a phenomenal job of promoting astronomy and getting folks aware of solar astronomy in particular. So hats off to them. Go out there if you want to see some of these images for yourself and enjoy that. I'm just browsing through, some of the images posted up. We have some great sunspots on the sun today, right now. And if you happen to be listening and you're not too familiar with all of this sun and astronomy stuff, what I want you to do is again, if you have a Facebook page, Solar Activity is going to be a great tool to learn more. But if you want to see some actual visuals of things that we are going to be talking about on this hour or more episode, I recommend rolling on over to solarham.net. And in particular, when you get there, in the upper left-hand corner is sunspots, a nice big orange picture of the sun. If you click that, it's going to bring it up in a larger graphic for you. And in particular, what you're paying attention to is the groups of dots and other blemishes, if you will, on the sun that you'll see. And these are active regions or sunspots. And these are fascinating to actually view as a week goes by because they do change. Our sun is not this, you know, static, always never-changing type of ball of gas. It is very dynamic. And I myself have been very surprised at times when I'm observing the sun, just how dynamic it can be. Now, white light, these sunspots, these will change by the day. These will certainly change as the week goes by. You can see it traversing the sun as the sun rotates. Yes, the sun does rotate. And you will see these spots come from their eastern limb, go all the way across the surface, and go ahead and disappear as they disappear into the western limb. And sometimes, just sometimes, the active region or the group of sunspots will reappear from the eastern limb as they do a full rotation. That can happen, and it's just fascinating. Now, if you have one of these other specialized scopes, like these hydrogen alpha, well, boy, if you've never seen the sun through a hydrogen alpha telescope, you have got to find an astronomy club or head on over to Night Skies Network, do something to find somebody that can show you a view of this, because it'll get you hooked. It's fascinating. Now, these hydrogen alpha, when we say hydrogen alpha, basically, you know, light is a wavelength, and you have different wavelengths for visible light. You know, orange is a different wavelength than, say, red or blue, for example. So when we say hydrogen alpha, we are talking about a very specific wavelength of electromagnetic radiation or light, basically. And these telescopes that can permit us to see hydrogen alpha, they're very specialized, okay? These filters as well, they're very specialized. What they permit us to see is a layer of the sun called the chromosphere. And one of the cool things that I like is that when you talk about where the sunspots are on the sun, that layer that they are on, the visible layer that you're seeing these things on, is called the photosphere. And when you're able to see the chromosphere, you're actually seeing the layer above the photosphere. Now, you're still able to see the sunspots, just in a little bit different manner than perhaps the true, what we call, white light of the sun, okay? And this chromosphere, oh, it has a wealth of activity going on. One of the largest ones that it's always a big winner when you're showing off the sun is if you happen to have a day where you have a prominence on the limb of the sun. Now, we are at a disadvantage here being on this podcast-less live radio program that we can't show you this, but if you want to see a representation of what a prominence is, go to halfa.nso.edu, Hydrogen Alpha Network Monitoring Site, and it has hydrogen alpha full-disk images of the sun from all over the country, actually all over the world, I should say. And one of them, and being today here, being we are live on the 21st of June, 2015, we have a phenomenally large prominence that is on the eastern limb of the sun, just about in the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock region. If you can imagine a dial of a watch, basically, it's in the upper right portion as you're looking. And those are the types of things that you can see on the edges of the sun. This is material that is lifted off from the sun's surface along magnetic field lines. And they get quite large. Sometimes they can be quite small, too. But they always have interesting shapes. Some of them can be straight lines. Some of them can be complete loops, which make for very beautiful observing, by the way. Some of them can be more like sheets or hedgerows, if you will, almost like trees and bushes, etc. That's been the visual description of them. And these things can change quite rapidly. I'm talking within the span of minutes. I've seen it myself. I've watched one prominence change from being a loop to being more of a straight vertical type of prominence in just a span of 20 minutes. In fact, I have the animation of all of the images that I took of that up on my YouTube channel, I believe. If you look either at John Kramer on YouTube, K-R-A-M-E-R, or if you go to at the Eyepiece channel on YouTube, look through some of those, and I'm pretty sure I have the animation in there of that. And check that out, because it's really neat to see. I mean, it's just a fascinating, fascinating thing to view and look at. And I am going to go ahead and just grab a drink real quick. We are live, and let me just do something. There we go. It has been a busy, busy day for me, gang. I tell you, getting up, getting everything loaded in the car to do the live outreach from 11 to 1, running back here to get back on to doing a Google Hangout from 2 to 3, and then, of course, the podcast here, which is just now under an hour. So I'm going to be one wiped out person here probably by the end of the day. But the good news is, you know, I don't want to go ahead and jinx it, but I'm seeing a little bit more blue sky. So chances are I might be able to, at the end of this podcast, be on Night Skies Network on the At the Eyepiece channel and broadcasting images of the sun in hydrogen alpha. So you too can go ahead and see that live and on the air. Now, let's go ahead and a little bit more about outreach, because the Worldwide Solstice Festival is really about outreach and sharing our views of the sun with others. And, you know, I enjoy, even though I've seen it many times, even though I've seen the sun many times, like I said, it's dynamic. It's not the same thing. That, by the way, is not a beer. That is a Dr. Pepper that I'm opening. just so that we're clear on that point. Even though I have seen the sun before, being able to go ahead and share the view with others, it's like you're seeing it for the very first time yourself. And it's funny, in astronomy, that's kind of like the same thing with everything. What I mean by that is, even if we do an astronomy outreach and we show the moon, even though as an astronomer I've seen the moon lots of times, and from a standpoint compared to the sun, the moon is rather static. It doesn't really change. The features that are there are the features that are going to be there next month, next year, etc. But when you show it to somebody through outreach that has never had their opportunity to see it themselves, it reignites your interest, if you will, back into the moon, and you just have to look and enjoy it yourself as well. And the same thing with the sun. Get out, even if you have a very modest scope with a white light solar filter, and you can go ahead and showcase sunspots. I guarantee you that there are going to be folks out there that are going to get hooked, that are going to find it fascinating, because you can't help but going ahead and find it absolutely fascinating, in my opinion, to go ahead and see something like that and begin to appreciate some of the objects or some of the phenomenon that you're seeing there. Sunspots. What are sunspots? Well, sunspots are essentially cooler regions of the sun that have been disrupted by magnetic field lines. And what you're basically seeing is it's a cooler region, not by a long shot, I mean, but relative to the other surrounding areas, it is much cooler. And that coolness is what makes it so apparent or black and dark on the surface of the sun. And you have a region called the umbra that is really black. You have a region around the umbra that, if you look at it with a lot of detail, it's much, much lighter, and it has lots of lines that are going around it as well. And this is what is called the penumbra. And excuse me here, I'm going to grab a quick drink. Seems I have been talking, I have been talking, gang, from about 11 until today. Right now, I'm still talking. So my throat's going to be giving me some problems later. But anyway, it's worth it. So these sunspots with the umbra and the penumbra, these are cooler regions of the sun. And well worth sharing. I tell you, these little kids that came up to the IPs, some of them are funny because they sit there and they say, oh, I don't see anything besides the dust. You know, no, that's not dust on the lens, hon. That is sunspot. And then they'll go, oh. And then you'll say, what really gets them kind of interested is when you say, you know, that those sunspots on the sun are actually larger than the whole planet Earth is. That's when generally I hear the wow or the cool. And that's when you get them engaged. You bring them over to a graphic, and you can show them, and you can give them a little handout on the sun, and you can go ahead and give them hopefully that little spark to find out more. Because we desperately, in this country specifically, we desperately need kids, to be honest with you, more scientifically literate. And there's a huge movement out there called STEM. It stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. And it is something that is a focal point of a lot of our educators and scientists out there to try to get our youth, in particular, interested in science, technology, engineering, or mathematics. We're lacking quite a bit. We are lacking quite a bit. You know, one of the interesting points here I'm going to make is it seems to me, and when I have David on, David Renecki from Australia, I'm going to ask him a little bit more about this because I'm very curious. I have a feeling that the folks or the kids in particular down there in Australia are just more scientifically interested, perhaps even the public more at large here than in the States. I find that interesting. And if that is very much the case, then we all, as amateur astronomers, do have a duty to go out there and try to change that ourselves. Because if you go out there and you change it for just one person, that one person might be able to change it for another person. And it creates this chain of events. You know, I tell you, when as a club, and this astronomy club here that I'm running here in Murfreesboro is a very small club, just starting out in other areas of astronomy as well. And they're always interested to find out more. You should see these kids' eyes light up when they say, yeah, we're going to showcase next time. We're going to show the sun. And if it's clear, you'll be able to see these things here. And I'll point to the solar prominence image that I have. And they always go ahead and they look up at their parents. And then I think their parents are like, yeah, well, we'll come back and we'll see that. Of course, when you talk about other things too, such as the moon, et cetera, that's always a big draw to the planets. But solar astronomy and outreach is our focus today. And Worldwide Solstice Festival has obviously been a huge hit. I've been looking through some more images on the Facebook page of groups and outreach, and all of the folks that are looking up with the donated Daystar safe solar glasses, which was a big hit too locally, by the way. So thank you to Daystar for that. And all of the folks just looking up at the sun through the variety of telescopes, it's just a great, great feeling to be part of that. And hopefully to know that you're taking part in these things and helping to shape perhaps a future astronomer or a future scientist or somebody interested in something like that. And it's just an awesome, awesome feeling. I will say, one of the points here that I wanted to emphasize too, and this is more personal than really anything, is that really and truly, you should take every opportunity that you can to go ahead and do some type of outreach. And solar astronomy is unique, obviously, because it occurs during the day, and you probably have a bit more opportunity to be out there in the public's eye, so to speak. And really, going ahead and trying to do something on a regular basis is the goal that I'm going to have, and I'm going to go ahead and put it out there for you to go ahead and have the same goal. We can celebrate the sun any day that we want, really. And having a worldwide event like this is fantastic because it does call attention to our sun and our closest star and does promote science and outreach and astronomy in general. But we can do this. And we can go ahead and continue to keep the momentum moving forward as really long as we want. Hard to believe here. We are 44 minutes left. 44 minutes left, folks, on this episode here at the NIPs, the live episode. That's right, live, the Worldwide Solstice Festival. If you want to join in the chat room, by all means, jump on in there and ask any questions, or if you just want to say hi, if you just want to go ahead and say, hey, I was part of the Worldwide Solstice Festival, this is where I'm from, and this is what we did, and et cetera, I would love to go ahead and see that and share that live on the air. Of course, too, if you want to go ahead and call in, guest phone number is 760-454-1129. I would love to be able to go ahead and hear your experience live on the air as well and share that with others. Now, as I said earlier here today, we have a number of active regions on the sun. These are sunspots, cooler regions on the sun today. These change. They won't look the same probably in the next couple of days. And I encourage you to go ahead and learn more about those. And a great way to see images as well as to ask any questions related to solar astronomy in general, if you happen to be a member of Facebook, you got to go ahead and join in to the solar activity group. This group is huge. We're just under 25,000 members. I think that's phenomenal. Pamela and John O'Neill certainly have done a fantastic job at promoting this this website. And I'm seeing some of the new images that are just posted up from Rogerio Marcon. Where are you at, sir? Let's see. I can't tell where you're at because we're not friends. Okay. Well, that's okay. He's posted up some fantastic images right now onto that group. His images of this active region with the in the hydrogen alpha light, very specific wavelength of light. Oh, he is in Brazil. See, truly a worldwide endeavor going on here right now, and it's live. It's today, and you know what? It can be any day you want, really. Just keep the ball moving. Keep sharing. astronomy, et cetera. But we are so thankful that everybody went ahead and started to participate in the Worldwide Solstice Festival. It's been a great, great event, and we've got tons of images and things coming in to both the solar activity site and the Worldwide Solstice site. So that's great. But this detail that he's got, Rogério Marcon, wow. Just superb. Wonderfully dark umbras and the penumbras and all of the filaments that you're seeing in the hydrogen alpha are just beautiful. And I realize, being a podcast, it's hard probably for you to visualize these items here as I try to describe them as best as I can. But they're just fascinating. Oh, he's got prominences now. So let me elaborate. Maybe I haven't explained prominences and filaments. So we'll go ahead and we'll go back to that a bit here as we go. So in a nutshell, okay, the sun has a layer called the chromosphere. And you can see this layer when you're using a telescope that is specifically made to see the light in hydrogen alpha. Okay? Now, this material of the chromosphere is pretty much controlled by magnetism, magnetic field lines that are going on the sun through the chromosphere and also into the photosphere. And sometimes, well, quite frequently actually, material will be lifted off into higher levels of the chromosphere and off of that chromosphere layer from these kinks and knots and loops that these magnetic field lines create. And when this material is seen on the limb of the sun and they are silhouetted against the blackness of space, we call them prominences. And these prominences have, well, all kinds of different shapes. Some look like trees, some look like bushes, some can be spikes, some can be complete loops. Some can even look like dragons. Yes, I've seen some that actually, if you use your imagination, can appear to be a dragon. Very cool. These prominences can be quite small to quite large. In fact, I would say most of them can be larger than the Earth itself. So if you were to scale the Earth to one of these images, you would see that really it could be engulfed by one of these prominences. Now that's on the edge or the limb of the sun. When we say filaments, basically a filament is the same thing as a prominence, but you're seeing it on the of the sun. So it seems, because of the contrast, as a darker kind of either loop, it can appear as a broad loop, or a stringy type of filament kind of structure along the sun that's slightly darker than the surrounding area. And that's because you're seeing it face down. You're not seeing it against the limb to where it truly can take a 3D shape. You're seeing it on the disk of the sun itself. And the same mechanisms that create the prominences are basically what's creating the filaments. Again, this is solar material that is being lifted up off of the solar surface or the chromosphere, and it's following along the different magnetic field lines that exist within this particular layer. And they can change very, very rapidly. As I've said earlier in this broadcast, you can go ahead and see these things change within 20 minutes. A lot of times, they're much, much longer, but some of them you can see change quite rapidly. As I myself have experienced, I think one of the most awe-inspiring views was to be at my monitor with my camera connected to the telescope, the Hydrogen Alpha telescope, and seeing within just a few moments a noticeable change in the prominence on the sun. And as I watched for 20, 30 minutes, I could see a change from being a loop to being more of a vertical, straight-up prominence. It's just incredible to see something like that. And I just can't imagine anybody not being just fascinated by it. Absolutely fascinated. So that's one of the coolest things I think I have seen. I mean, there are just so many different things to see for yourself out there on the sun that it's just absolutely fascinating. And, you know, hydrogen alpha is a different wavelength of light. It doesn't mean the white light and the sunspot should get any less degree of scrutiny, or you should feel any less about them as far as how fascinating they can be. Trust me, if you view these sunspots, and a lot of times you can view them at some higher magnifications, you can really enjoy studying the way they change. They will morph as they cross the solar disk, as they change from being one spot, some they will split, they will break up into larger or smaller spots. Sometimes a larger spot will reemerge. It's just fascinating to watch it. And there's rare phenomenon that you just might be able to catch for yourself. And these are very rare because they're very quick. I'm talking minutes. And these, I believe, I hope I have this accurate, I believe they're called white light flares. This is when a flare is so active and bright within these active regions that it literally becomes visible in the white light. And that will appear literally as a white structure, generally a line, and it will brighten and get broader and broader, and then it will fade out. And these are rare, but if you find them, that's quite an accomplishment to be able to go ahead and track a white light flare like that, because nabbing those visually is pretty cool. Now, the other thing, when we talk about flares, and I don't think I have mentioned this at all, there are important reasons to study the sun. There's important reasons why we focus on the sun. I mean, obviously, the sun is what gives us life here on Earth. We are at the perfect distance. We are in what is called the habitable zone. And that's a term that has a lot been thrown around since the Kepler mission launched years ago to go ahead and find exoplanets. You will hear that quite frequently, the habitable zone. This is a zone where essentially life and water and things such as that can form on that planet. So Earth obviously is in the sweet spot of the habitable zone. And at times, we have activity from the sun that can actually do us some harm. And what those are is coronal mass ejections or flares. And I mentioned that solarham.com website earlier in this podcast, and I encourage you to head on over there and check them out, because you will notice that there's graphs, and they refresh quite rapidly. These graphs can show you in real time as flares are happening. Now, M-class flares are, well, I won't say they're rare, but they're not rare, but they don't happen that often either. I was catching something here from Facebook here, just another beautiful image. When these flares occur, and when these coronal mass ejections occur, if Earth happens to be in the direction that this material is being flung, that's when things could get a little dangerous. And let me elaborate. This is literally charged particles. So, of course, the first things that we as Earthlings are going to be concerned about is the stuff that's not under the protection of our atmosphere. Because let's face it, our atmosphere does protect us from the vast majority of bad stuff from the sun. But things out in space, They don't have that protection. So NASA and everyone that has astronauts out in space, such as the International Space Station, they have to pay particular attention to flares and coronal mass ejections, because that could be literally life-threatening for those astronauts, as well as life-threatening, in a sense, to the satellites out there that are countless satellites that we now have in place. No doubt there are safety precautions that satellites have integrated in with them to take when there is a significant chance of those particles interacting with those satellites. So that's just one way that the sun directly affects us here on Earth. Now, the next way is with these charged particles, as they begin to be funneled down what we call the Van Allen belts. These are magnetic field lines or magnetic lines, belts, that really funnel and protect us from a lot of the solar wind that is put out, by the way, all the time from the sun. But along with that solar wind, we get a lot of the bad stuff from the coronal mass ejections and from the flare events. And this material goes along the Van Allen belts and down to the poles. You got the North Pole, you got the South Pole. And what they create is what we call the aurora. Aurora borealis is what Northern Hemisphere folks call the aurora. And forgive me, I cannot remember the Southern Hemisphere. I want to say maybe aurora australis. I don't know that 100% though. Excuse me there, needed to wet my whistle because I've been yapping a lot today. Now, the aurora are beautiful. That's basically when this charged particles interact with our atmosphere, and they can create a very colorful display if you live close enough to the North Pole in order to see it. Now, a lot of folks in Canada know what the aurora is, Alaska, obviously. But sometimes the aurora can dip down, Maine, certainly, New York, perhaps, even as far as Maryland. And I even believe that there was one time an aurora activity reached down as far as Tennessee. So these events, although rare, it can happen. And that, of course, means that there is stupendously strong solar material being flung down into the Van Allen belts and hitting Earth's atmosphere at our poles. And that can go ahead and have a nasty effect on us, of course, with our electrical grids. Now, I don't have the exact time frame, but do you remember when there was a large power outage on the East Coast, and I think even up into Canada? I want to say this was maybe 8 years ago. Remember that? Well, guess what? It was because of a coronal mass ejection or flare, and a very strong X glare, that all this charged particles basically, it created havoc for our power system. Our power grid couldn't handle the influx of energy from those particles, and, well, created all that created all of that havoc. Now, there's also something for airlines, airline activity. When planes, and obviously they're a little bit more at higher risk, right, because they're higher up in the atmosphere, they have less dense of an atmosphere to protect them. So if they are specifically higher, flying at higher latitudes around the poles, they need to be very concerned, because as this charged particles come down and interact with the atmosphere, that can cause a lot of problems with their avionics, and you definitely don't want to have that. So airlines and the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, pay particular attention to also this these science alerts on solar activity, because there's a lot of things that it can cause problems with. You know, even radio, you know, regular terrestrial radio will go ahead and create problems with at times during these solar activities with flares as well as the coronal mass ejection. So don't think that the sun's just a ball of gas that's out there and we're just feeling the warmth of it and everything can get cozy all the time. Absolutely not. There are times when the sun can get a little nasty. And these events can cause real problems for us here on Earth. That's just one reason why it's very important to go ahead and, for scientists in particular, obviously, to go ahead and study the sun. Heliosography? I knew I would wreck that word there. I believe it's the study of the sun. Anyway, I won't try to bring that back up again, but I wanted to go ahead and share that regarding the sun and solar activity and how it can interact. And, you know, again, when you are out there in public and you're telling folks this, a lot of times, to be honest with you, they're hearing this for the very first time. So it's all part of education, educating folks, and really hopefully getting them interested in astronomy, in particular solar astronomy. And again, we have to go ahead and say this, that the Worldwide Solstice Festival has been a huge impact on that, because as I see more of these images coming up from around the world, again, you can roll over to Facebook and head on over to the Worldwide Solstice Festival page as well as the Solar Activity page. Go ahead and join in and see that activity for yourself. All right, as we come in here, I actually got a caller inbound, so let's go ahead and see who we have on board. One moment. Hello, welcome to the At the Eyepiece Show. My name's John. Who am I talking to?
Hi, John. This is John O'Neill from Solar Activity, calling you from Mahalo, where our festival's in full swing at the moment.
All right. Well, hello there, John. It's a joy to go ahead and finally talk to you in person. I know that we've exchanged messaging and Facebook posts, et cetera. But, wow, you have quite a nice little setup there. You're still going at it out that way, huh?
Yeah, we've got another 2 hours to go. Unfortunately, we had quite a bit of rain on and off in the morning, but it's beautiful, cleared up now, and we've got long lines at the scopes, and I just had to come get out of the sun and sit down in the shade for a minute and thought this would be a perfect opportunity to call and see how things are going with you.
Well, very good. Yeah, I've had a very busy day as well. You know, I actually had the weather here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee was certainly not ideal, but we did get out and share some view of white light and some of the active regions. The sun was we were fortunate enough to go ahead and see some nice active region sunspots on the sun today. Hydrogen Alpha, due to the clouds that we had, just wasn't enough of a transparency for us. But the folks were able to go ahead and get their Daystar glasses on and check out the sun. And, of course, they also enjoyed that certificate of participation that you and Pamela put together. That was a big hit, too, with the kids. So it was a blast, even though we were only out there for I think I was only out there for 2 hours before rolling back here and doing the Google Plus Hangout and, of course, the podcast.
Oh, I can't wait to see that later when I get home. I'm all excited to see what you guys did. And I'm looking at the Facebook page, the Solar Activity site, and the Worldwide Solstice Festival site. I'm really excited. A lot of people got involved. Looked like a lot of people shared a lot of science today and had a great time. For the Hydrogen Alpha here today was just totally spectacular once it cleared up. There's a huge prominence. Well, in my scope, it's at 6:30 on a clock dial. Looks like a upside-down willow tree. And then as the day progressed, it turned more and more into a huge hedgerow prominence. It spanning probably an hour and a half if you consider the face of the sun as aggressive. I'm getting a lot of oohs
and ahs
from the kids, and it's really awesome today.
Yeah, that's great. See, it worked out wonderful to go ahead and have not only the sunspots for white light, but that type of prominence. I actually have it up here on the H-Alpha NSO EDU site from Big Bear, California, of course. And, yeah, that's just a phenomenally large prominence, and I'm glad that you're able to share that view with the folks out there. What would you think, how many people you think have been by?
Well, so far we've had around 1,500. It's been a steady stream. Even during the rain, they were coming. So I'm very impressed with that. I gotta say, you know, thanks to Daystar and Jenda Lee Winters for the Hydrogen Alpha Scope, for the glasses. The glasses were such a big hit today because we have naked eye sunspots. And people are able to put on the solar glasses and actually see the spots with unaided vision. And that is just totally tremendous.
Yes, that really hits it home right there for them. I know that a couple of the kids, unfortunately my eyesight, I couldn't make it out, but I know a couple of the kids were like, yeah, we see it. And even one of the dads that were there, I was saying, yep, it's definitely there. It's small, but it's there. I said, so you guys can have these glasses, and you can see the sun at any time you want and see what other sunspots exist. So sharing the science, that's exactly what you were talking about. That is so important. And today, with the success of Worldwide Solstice Festival, and seeing all the impressive images that are being put up, phenomenal stuff. Up there from different all around the world. In fact, I even remember somebody from Brazil as well as somebody from South Korea.
Yes.
So that's fantastic part of something that's really going on worldwide. And I'm glad that your weather at least cooperated for HA. You know, I got one of these Daystar quirks myself, and I was phenomenally excited to go ahead and get to use it, but I haven't done so yet. So
you're going to love it. It's a tremendous instrument.
Yeah. Yep. It's very impressive. Absolutely. Now, you've got a good view of the western horizon, enough to keep it going for a little bit longer, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna last till 6. I'm not sure what time it is. I think we're getting close to that.
Well, 5:11. Yeah, are you East Coast up there? East Coast time, Eastern time. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
5:11.
Okay, so we've got a little less than an hour to go, and it's beautiful clear here now. But they're saying by in a couple hours it's going to rain. So at 6 o'clock we're going to cut her off and pack up, so we don't harm any of our instruments.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's great. You had a break in the weather. That is phenomenal. A lot of times after the rain, you know, it clears a lot of that muck out of the atmosphere and really helps improve the transparency, but you might have a lot
indeed.
More humidity from it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's like a sauna here right now.
Oh, I know. I'm feeling the same thing, brother. I know what you're talking about from the sauna. I was only out for about 2 hours, and I was still, but that's our fun. Well, you're going to definitely be posting up more images there to the page?
Oh, absolutely. I have video I've been shooting throughout the day. I have tons of images. I'll be sending stuff your way, and I'll getting them on the website. And so I'm going to have to duck out here. And get back
all
to
right.
it.
Well,
it was good chatting
really
with you, John.
I really appreciate you calling in, and it's good to hear you.
Oh, you too. I've been wanting to get an opportunity to sit down and chat for a while with you, and I finally decided I got to quit procrastinating and give you a call. So this is the perfect time, and I'm glad we had a few minutes to share, and we'll be in touch again soon.
Absolutely, John. All right, it was a pleasure, and I'm so thankful you have a great event going out there. Thanks again for calling
in. John. And thank you for being a part of it.
Hey, no problem. It's our pleasure, man. I mean, that is what it's about. I'm passionate about astronomy, and you're passionate about it, and getting people, more people passionate about it is very vital.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right, now.
We'll catch you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye. All right, so that was John O'Neill. He was he's one of the founders there. Between him and Pamela Shavak, they have really created this ball rolling here between the Solar Activity Site and, of course, the Worldwide Solstice Festival. And you can really truly tell that it's worldwide, gang, because, you know, the image is coming in from Brazil. The image is coming in from South Korea. John calling in from where he's at up there in Ohio. Images were just locally for me here in Tennessee and all across the country. I know that we've got folks being represented all over the world, and it's just great that we're seeing so many people getting out and sharing the view of our closest star with others. It's wonderful, and I know that a lot of people are going to be, they're going to get hooked. I'm definitely positive that they are going to be hooked on astronomy. So we are close. We got 14 minutes left of this episode. We are live on the air, for 14 more minutes. June 21st, 2015, this has been the Worldwide Solstice Festival podcast here. Your host, John Kramer, on the At The Eyepiece channel here on Blog Talk Radio. Absolutely pleasure to be here and talk about the sun and solar astronomy. That is something that I'm passionate about. Hopefully that comes through here, I am definitely passionate about astronomy, and I definitely want to go ahead and try to get other people passionate about astronomy because it is just so cool. Now, one thing I'm going to jump in here as I am watching the Worldwide Solstice Festival page, that a minor coronal mass ejection hit Earth's magnetic field on June 21st at approximately 1600 universal time. Coronal mass ejection was associated with an R1 minor flare event that was observed from the sunspot region 12371, located near the center disk of the sun. So sunspot region, that number must be associated with the active region 2371. That's the big one that we have all been talking about, the one that John O'Neill mentioned, that his some of the 1,500 people there that have been getting the Daystar glasses for safe solar viewing, that's been able to see this sunspot with their own unaided eye. And that is what has been associated with putting out this minor coronal mass ejection that they are referring to here. Now, it's interesting. It says the weak impact did not cause any immediate geomagnetic storm. However, at least two more coronal mass ejections are en route. This means geomagnetic storms remain possible in the nights ahead despite the muted effect of today's strike. So what does that mean? Radio broadcasts could be interrupted. Of course, I mentioned earlier, you also have the possibility for stronger aurora activity, rather. And that is going to be mostly for Northern Hemisphere folks. It's not going to be visible as far south here as Tennessee, but definitely that's not going to happen. They're just not as strong, but very cool. And this actually comes from, let me see who shared this out so that we can go ahead and give kudos to them. Gosh, did I already lose it? Man, I already lost the link. Sorry about that, but it was from AstroWatch, was the website, astrowatch.net. And we thank the person. Sorry, I didn't get your name there. I must have clicked off of it, and somehow I can't find it. Oh, no, I got you. Tomasz Nowanowski. Probably have mutilated that. I apologize. But thank you for the update on the minor coronal mass ejection. We appreciate that because we've just shared it out with the whole world, too. Okay, sorry about that. I needed to go ahead and wet the whistle there. As we are winding down, 10 minutes left of our special worldwide Solstice Festival episode here on At the Eyepiece. Successful day? Absolutely. More than successful. I'm so looking forward to as everyone gets back home and catches their breath and cools themselves off. No doubt more images will be posted up in the days ahead, and I'm looking so forward to seeing those and more than likely talking more about this at a future episode of At the Eyepiece. And let's see here. We have... Oh, I thought that there was another alert coming in. My fault there. That's not an alert at all. Just more images being posted up. And let's go back here. As far as images posted up, I'm just taking another look at my sky, because as I wrap up here with this live episode of At the Eyepiece, there was a possibility that I will... There is a possibility, put it that way, that I will be able to broadcast on Night Skies Network before the end of today. And that, of course, is very weather-dependent, but right now it seems that we might. Now, get this, gang. I just went over to Night Skies Network. Remember when we had a gentleman on... South Dakota, I believe it was, North Dakota maybe, Scotty, that was broadcasting? Well, guess what? We have now five people on Night Skies Network, gang, that are broadcasting live shots. Right now we've got one person from, looks like South Africa, or Africa thereabouts, broadcasting some night, but everybody else I think is broadcasting the sun. We got Heaven Declares God's Glory. Don from Pennsylvania, he is a phenomenal, phenomenal host on Night Skies Network. He always puts a great show together. It looks like he's doing 80 millimeter white light with a solar wedge for the joy of Night Skies Network. Yep, there it comes up here. Nice shot with plenty of contrast there of these active regions. 2371, and just on a hint there on the edge of the field of view there is the other active region, which is 2367. Let's go back on over and let's see who we've got. We have Mbozi, it looks like, there in Las Vegas, broadcasting Hydrogen Alpha, Solar Max 2 from Las Vegas, Nevada. We are talking about, we're seeing right now, live, that wonderful prominence that John O'Neill, our guest, just hopped on at the end of the show here that was so busy out there in Ohio with 1,500 folks for his worldwide Solstice Festival event. Fantastic, fantastic attendance for that. But we have here looking at that prominence right now in real time through a Hydrogen Alpha telescope. So if you happen to be listening to this live right now, gang, head on over to nightskiesnetwork.com and you can see these for yourself and really understand why I get so excited talking about solar astronomy in particular, because there's so many things that can be going on that are just super cool. Oh, we also got Tom, looks like from Indiana. He is also doing Hydrogen Alpha. Wow. he's doing Hydrogen Alpha with a Lunt 152. Basically, that is a 6-inch diameter lens. That, in a nutshell, that's a super large telescope, gang. He's doing it with a ZWO, which is a camera, 174 monochrome camera, and it looks like he's got the colors inverted, which I like sometimes because it really gives you a different perspective. So rather than the filaments being dark, the filaments are white, well, grayish, more lightish gray. And the sunspots, of course, are brighter, and the brighter regions are darker. So it really gives you an interesting perspective to see it at the different colorization that folks can do with a monochrome camera. This is Tom. By the way, he does some phenomenal stuff. Tom, in Indiana there, as well as Don, his channel, Heaven Clare God's Glory, does some great nighttime stuff too. Oh, wow. Tom just shifted his view to almost a whole disc image of the sun in HA, Hydrogen Alpha. And that is, that's just beautiful. It's awesome. Plenty of filaments out there that you can see. The filaments are coming up in a very almost whitish color. And of course you have the prominence at the, exactly at the, well, just about 2 o'clock position, on the sun. You see the dark, dark regions, the active regions very prominently. Very, very cool, image there by Tom. All right, let's back out and see, let's see if RC is doing anything with the sun. Yes, actually. Okay, we got another guy on here, Night Skies Network, as we're close now to our 3-minute time frame left on the At the IP show. If you happen to be listening live, gang, head on over if you have access to a computer and internet. Roll on over to Night Skies Network. Check out some of these channels that I'm referring to. RC's Observatory right now has a 130-millimeter Newtonian telescope that is broadcasting from western Oklahoma, and he's got a very nice white light image, but he's got a very natural, almost yellowish color to it, which is showing up quite nice. And he's got the active region that I mentioned throughout the day, 2379, which is the prominent active region, just about midway on the solar disk right now, and is visible with just the glasses, the safe solar glasses. Again, shout out to Daystar for providing those specifically for today's events, the Worldwide Solstice Festival. All of these, no doubt, gang, will be or more images, rather, not necessarily from these channels here on Night Skies Network, but more images, no doubt, is going to be coming up for solar activity on Facebook as well as Worldwide Solstice Festival on Facebook. I encourage you, please, head on over there. Look at the fine work that Pamela Shavak and John O'Neill have done to coordinate these events. And look at the amazing images that Randy puts up as well, truly as well as everybody else out there. Hats off to those individuals that have posted up some of these images that I've been able to talk about on the Google Plus Hangout prior to this. That video, by the way, you can see that video of the Google Plus Hangout at John Kramer's YouTube channel. K-R-A-M-E-R, and you'll see that. And we are just tinkering down. 90 seconds left as the little voice in my earplug tells me from Blog Talk Radio. I actually can't believe that time has flown this fast, but wow. I'm sad, quite sad to even go. It has been so much fun talking about everything going on with these activities today and the fantastic outpouring of support and events and people around the world. I just want to go ahead and say thank you to Pamela Shavak. Thank you to John O'Neill. And a huge thank you to Daystar Instruments. They have provided so many glasses and equipment to individuals, including other folks in the group, for participating in this event. Wow, just amazing, and I can't wait to get out there and share some live views with the 66mm with the Quark Hydrogen Alpha eyepiece. So, without further ado, gang, that is a wrap for today's episode of At the Eyepiece. The Worldwide Solstice Festival does go on for a few more hours, so check it out, and again, check back to Worldwide Solstice Festival page as well as the Solar Activity Group for all of the images that are no doubt going to be pouring in for the next few days. So until then, and we can all talk about it next time, here's wishing you clear skies so that we can all talk about it again at the Eyepiece.